Working with Compassion International has helped Greystone Church reach our mission of knowing God and making God known. The purpose of Compassion is to release children from poverty in the name of Jesus. Compassion accomplishes this through connecting with churches in the U.S. and churches in poverty-stricken communities around the world. 8 years ago, we hosted a Compassion Sunday at Greystone Church, and we gave our members the opportunity to sponsor children living in poverty, and we partnered with a church in Juticalpa, Honduras. Over the last 8 years, we have sponsored over 1,100 children. As you can imagine, we've been able to impact those kids and their families in the name of Jesus. But what we didn't realize is how we would impact our families at Greystone Church. As some of you know, when you go on a mission trip to a foreign country, the trip ends up impacting you as much or more than those in the foreign country. This is what we've experienced with Compassion. Our families are living on mission because they are participating in the Great Commission and seeing lives change for all eternity. If you and your church would like to partner with Compassion International, I highly recommend hosting a Compassion Sunday at your church. To find out more about hosting a Compassion Sunday, go to compassion.com/family goals. Again, you can find out more information at compassion.com/family goals. Welcome to another episode of the Family Goals Podcast with Davey Pollock and Pastor Jay. Today, I helped David on the podcast write a speech that he is giving soon.
I didn't realize you helped, but okay.
I gave you some advice. I mean, put in some humor, put in some stories.
It wasn't helpful. Nobody ever needs perfect or wants perfect. It's funny when we do the EA Sports recording, which is a video game. Mm-hmm. The ones that we stumble sometimes are like, that's good. We'll leave that because it makes it sound human.
It's more human, more real.
Because nobody's going to be like a freaking computer.
Yeah.
And just rattle it off and be perfect. Like, that's just not.
You're not getting replaced by an AI bot?
Not yet. I'm sure it's coming.
Because they could totally match your voice.
Oh, they can do all kinds of stuff.
And then say whatever they want to say.
Which is crazy.
So, what's up in David Pollock's world?
Nothing much, man. What's up in Pastor Jay's world? I know we're not playing golf because this is way too cold.
Oh, man. It's like the flood's coming. I don't know if we need to build a boat or what, but it's freezing. It's cold. When I was driving over here, I saw that, you were in a floodplain.
Yeah, there's a lot of water
over here in the Gratis area. There's just water everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. I haven't talked anybody into playing golf with me lately.
I hadn't played in a while.
But I think this afternoon is supposed to heat up a little bit. It's supposed to not rain anymore.
So I got a tea time tomorrow if you want to join me. That'll Friday.
What time are we playing?
1:20.
1:20. So you go late afternoon, so it's a little warmer?
It's a little warmer, yeah. Get something done in the morning.
This is why I've always said the better athletes are always in the South, because you can't go outside and play up north. You literally have months of the country where it's six. I'm thankful. I'm very thankful we live down here. Because last week it was 65 and 70. Yeah. Sunday I was like, dude, it's hot. Yeah. It's warmth. It's very warmth.
There is no golf going on up north right now.
20 mile march.
They have the simulator. They have the simulator.
Hey, I'm thinking about the simulator hard. I'm thinking about pulling the trigger.
You gotta get one.
I got a couple of buddies who said they would get down on that, and then we have the perfect space for it out in the gym that we could use. So I'm thinking about pulling the trigger. Think about going ahead and getting one. Hey guys, come over. We'll play Augusta.
Let's do it.
I didn't invite you. Hold on. Chill, bro.
Pastor Jay did all he could do to try to invite himself on this trip out to Pebble Beach. I ended up not making it. Yeah. But how was Pebble Beach?
It was fantastic. It was good. We had an extra spot, too. You should have came. It was perfect. No.
I went through you, and then I would try to go through Whitaker. I got nothing.
No, nothing.
I got nowhere with either one.
It's the cool, I've played a lot of the good golf courses in the country. Not a lot, a couple. I played Augusta, which is awesome. It's unbelievable. But Cypress Point was the prettiest thing I've ever seen.
Is that right there by Pebble?
Yes.
Okay.
I've never seen, it looks like Avatar, the movie. It doesn't look real. And the coolest thing about the course is the first six holes looks very much like Augusta, mm-hmm. pristine, like the hills, the way it's designed, it looks like it. Grass, beautiful. The rough is beautiful. Everything's beautiful.
Is it on the water, on the ocean?
Well, that's what I'm telling you. Like, so the next six are tucked in like this little mountain, and but every outside of the fairway is sand.
Okay.
Everything.
Yeah.
So like par four, you miss the fairway, you're in the sand, and like the greens, there are no like you go for the stick. It's a lot of times there's, it slopes so much, like you'll have to throw it up, you know, 70 feet to the right, and then it'll just filter down, you know, towards the hole. And so
you have a caddy telling you where to hit it.
Yes. Okay. Thank God. Yeah. Like otherwise I'd shoot 180.
Yeah.
But then the last six are all on the water.
Okay.
And it's, yeah. I'm talking about water. Like there's a par four that's 255. It's all over water. And absolutely gorgeous, but you can lay up at like 100 to 150 or 100 to 180, okay. Or you can just go straight for it. But ocean in front, ocean behind, ocean all around, like
that is absolute. So cool.
I mean, it doesn't look real. Like it looks very fake. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Whitaker showed me a video of you up on kind of this, like you're on this mountain of a sand.
Yeah. By the way, that's a par three.
And he said, I saw you had your putter out. You were like putting it off the sand hill.
I like it because Whitaker also narrated it, which he does as well as anybody. Because our buddy Jeff is one of the funniest dudes you've ever met. And he was like,
he was calling you an orangutan.
No,
or something.
No, he was not. He was calling me a silverback. There's a difference, okay? There's a big difference in an orangutan and a silverback. But
you look more like a gorilla.
He goes, we found a silverback here at Cypress Point. And then he goes, oh, look, he's got a putter. What's he gonna do? And I did. I was up like 14 feet, like straight through beach sand. It's just, I told you, desert sand down to the green. And if you get it on the green, it's gone. So mm-hmm. I was like, I asked my caddy, I'm like, can I putt this? And he was like, yeah. And I mean, so I literally putted it down the sand mm-hmm. right to the fringe. And then you just kind of putt it again. Like it's gorgeous. It's one of Cypress Point. It's one of the craziest golf courses I've ever seen. Just gorgeous. All the cypress trees are all over mm-hmm. the place, and it was incredible.
This
I'm
assuming this is a private club.
It is, but Pebble was great, but that was something else. Okay. I mean,
was it Spyglass?
Spyglass? Yeah, Spanish Bay.
Spanish Bay.
Yeah, it was good. It was solid.
Yeah.
So no, it wasn't. I mean, that cypress was next level.
I'm pretty much playing on the Muni.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm at the neighborhood course over by my house.
You got a good neighborhood course though.
It's fun.
I'm sure you got the golf cart. You drive right to it.
Got my own golf cart. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
So enjoyed coming out and watching the kids play basketball. Got to see Nicholas play and Leah play. I mean, y'all were dominating the team that y'all were playing.
Yeah.
And so I was impressed.
I like how you came and then. The first lady came, and I love how the first lady texted, you know, me, you, and Lindsay a little scouting report. Like, just that was fantastic. Like, I like the way she did this, you know, not this. I was like, that's awesome.
She was impressed with Leah. She's at the front. I don't know what you call the front person on the full court press.
Yes.
But she was all up in their grills.
And, yeah.
Y'all were putting the pressure on that team, and I was impressed. Both your kids, very good team players, very unselfish, great passers.
Surprise, probably, weren't you?
My only suggestion was shoot more.
Yeah.
Get those kids shooting a little bit more. You know I like to shoot.
Yeah, I do. yeah, we've covered that many of times.
But
you know
I thought they were all, I don't want to say unselfish to a fault because they are great team players, but they had a few open looks. I thought they could. I obviously would have pulled the trigger.
Yeah, I think it's funny because – when you're younger and you coach and you have every parent in the stands going, shoot, every time they touch the ball. Like, I couldn't go further the other direction. I'm like, shoot if you're open, but make the right decision. Mm-hmm. And like, so I got so frustrated with parents and so the decision-making component of it. But yeah, both of my kids definitely, they could probably go be more aggressive. But like, Leah's a freshman on the varsity team and she starts and plays a lot and like you're a freshman. No,
yeah,
you're wrong.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth.
And I was thinking about that.
Yeah,
too.
Like
she's a freshman, so she's gotta
earn her stripes and get her way in there. So she's done a good job. But most importantly, the team is 24-1 And again, March 6th, we go win our first state championship. We won our first state championship in football this year, and now we go March 6th.
So the boys won it last year, the boys, state championship.
Yeah.
Now it's the girls' turn.
Now it's the girls' turn. And the boys won in football, so.
Yeah. I didn't even stick around for the boys' varsity game.
It wasn't worth watching.
I knew it wouldn't be. But Nicholas is probably the largest JV basketball two guard
you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, in the world.
He's big.
He's a big two guard.
Yeah, Nicholas
is. I mean, he could be the big man. He could be down low.
It's funny to watch him because he for the first time this year, he looks like a football player on the basketball court.
He does.
Like he's
got good handles.
He's gotten big. He's gotten thick. But yeah, hey, they're getting great coaching and up there, and they're getting great. They're getting loved on, and sport is basketball is something probably that Nicholas will never play in the future. But like, I love that he loves it. I mean, it's basketball season, and he's all in on basketball. Mm-hmm. Like that's. That's how we used to do it, and I love that he's got that perspective.
The girls coach, he was riding those girls pretty hard.
Yeah.
I mean, he called timeout within the first 30 seconds.
Yeah. They had four offensive rebounds in the first 30 seconds, Wes. They went.
Yeah, the other team.
He went, timeout, and the gym got really quiet.
Oh,
and
man,
he was
you
like,
could hear him talking.
What the freak are we doing? Like, and he went to, I loved every second. By the way, right before he called timeout, I was thinking, like, we need to call timeout. This is ridiculous. Like, four offensive rebounds. Mm-hmm. That's not acceptable. And
it's not how you wanted to start the game.
No, and he got in their butts. I loved it. He's very intense, which is good. Like, he's going to hold you accountable. I love that, man. Like, I think a lot of people raise their daughters like, you know, it's funny. They want their sons to be really tough. And they're like, get up. You know, you fall, get up. But the daughter, the princess falls, and you're like, oh, come here, let me help you up. That ain't life, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not what's going to happen to your daughter. Your daughter is going to have to earn and work and grind and go through some tough things, too, to be successful. She's not just going to be taken care of because she's a girl. And so I appreciate the crap out of that for him, that he pushes them, he shows them, he makes them be disciplined.
It's not easy to do.
It's not.
I would have a hard time, like, yelling at the girls.
Yeah, I get it. But I mean, you got to hold them to a standard.
Yeah.
And I think that's... You know, when we're raising our kids, we want to hold our daughters to a standard. Mm-hmm. Like, now you might not say it the same, but it's just like anything else. Not every kid receives it the same. And that's what I'm really learning with my kids is, you know, I can't talk to them the same. And I got to do a better job of continuing to know the difference and approach things differently. And, you know, like Leah and both of my kids don't like to be called out in front of people. And I used to do that all the time. And just as simple as, hey, man, come here real quick, you know, and saying something. And I think we learn our kids as we go. It's just like leadership. You don't lead people the same way at the church. Like, some people are different than others, and you plug in where you need to plug in. And I think that's the important part of coaching, period, is knowing the different individuals, you know, telling them the why so they know the why, and then loving the mess out of them, like loving on them, like letting them know that even when I yell at you and when I hold you accountable, I still love you. And then you come back and you support them, you know. But I think it's a fine line, like being a parent. It's the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. As a parent, you're walking a line sometimes that you're like, all right, do I want to fight this battle? Right? Because right now, is this the time? Am I planting my flag right here? And you're like, sometimes yes, sometimes no. So
you definitely learn to choose your battles.
Man, yeah.
And you learn the timing on those conversations. What's the best time to have them?
You know, it's tough to raise kids, and they have access to more information than they have. And, you know, they have not only do they have more access, it's easily accessible, right? Like it's also at the touch of their fingers, and it's in their hand, you know, most of the time. Just go to a high school game and you'll see, like, they don't go anywhere without their extra appendage, is their phone.
Yeah.
Marijuana
is legal.
Yeah.
In a lot of states.
Yeah. People, you can get gummies, you know, easily accessible. Uh-huh. And listen, I mean, all those things are part of the world, and we have to raise our kids and talk to our kids in a way that they understand that. And, you know, that's the hard part, I think, is because just like with Nicholas, and I've told y'all this, like he's like, you know, y'all are, you know, he's starting to understand that we're strict, and we're strict about X, Y, and Z. And, you know, and some of those things we've just needed to talk about and just have a discussion. Just like last night, there's a basketball game on. And he was like, was like, why aren't you? You're not watching. He's a Magic. He's a diehard Magic fan. Mm-hmm. My son's a diehard Magic fan. I have no clue why. Well, I do. It's Paolo Banchero and Jonathan Isaac and those guys that he loves.
Jonathan Isaac was
fantastic.
Super impressive.
If you didn't hear that on this podcast, you want to go back and listen to it.
He's a stud.
He's a stud. And he was like, I didn't. I was like, why aren't you watching the game? He's like, well, I didn't think I could watch it. Well, ask.
Why does he not think he could watch a basketball game? I don't know.
I'm like, dude, turn a basketball game on. Like, now listen, I'll tell him sometimes.
Y'all not let him watch TV?
Well, sometimes I'll tell him, like, dude, y'all got home. The TV was on for an hour. We did our work. Like, let's turn the TV off for a little bit. Like, I don't like the TV on all the time. I mean, I don't want that on all the time. That's a distraction a lot of times when we can talk and do things together, I think, sometimes. So, yes, I'll say that sometimes, but, like, just ask. Like, yes, you can watch the game. And then he was like, okay, can I watch it in the bedroom, in our bedroom? Because I was out there writing up a speech. And so he was, they were making fun of me anyways, because I was like talking out loud during my, like, writing
your
speech.
You're like practicing.
And, yeah. You do that with your sermons, right?
Every week.
You read them out loud?
Yeah, I practice them and change them. Typically,
you can't be practicing them too much.
Trim them down. I usually have too much information, so I'll time it. And, you know, if it's over 30 minutes, I try to take something out.
So you're saying you're too smart. Yeah, you just got too, no, you're too wise. I have too much words. Too many good things to put in there.
I try to keep it simple with people.
Well, I'm learning how to do that now, by the way.
How to write a message?
Yeah, because I've always, when I spoke.
You're great at the Q&As. Every time I've asked you to speak somewhere, you're like, hey, let's do a Q&A. Ask me the question and I'll answer it.
Well, I think that's twofold. Yes, it makes it easier, which is great. But I think also you get more interaction and you show more personality, mm-hmm. which I think is good. But I'm doing a speaking engagement coming up in February, and I've already started like writing it out. And so now like kind of practicing because there's a hard out. And mm-hmm. so, but.
You think you could talk for an hour?
Unfortunately, yes. Yeah.
I'm joking.
Unfortunately for everyone else, yes. We could get that done. But to be able to transition and to that's the part that, because you want to be yourself, I want to be myself, and you know, it's kind of an open.
Are you talking about spiritual things?
Yeah, some of it, yes. I mean, it's kind of cool, but it's very open-ended. It's like, "Hey, just kind of tell your story and work in adversity." And I'm like, "Okay, well, you know, what does that look like?" And so I'm wanting to spend a lot of time writing it up and like, okay, how does this work with my story and flow? And so I've started that component of it, and I've gone all over the place. And this is, you know, the beauty of this, I think, which is what we should, I think we should do this every day. I think we should read for X amount of minutes. I think we should pray for X amount of minutes, and not like a time limit, but mm-hmm. I'm saying, and then I think we should write. Like, I think writing is important. It just unlocks mm-hmm. something in your brain, and it makes you think about things, and you get a lot done when you just get a pen and pad and you just start writing. And mm-hmm. so I think it's been therapeutic for that, because I could just write and then, you know, God will bring something to my attention and I'll write it down. And then, but then putting it all together, but it just requires me getting very purposeful and still, and fighting my ADD, which is a fist fight. Mm-hmm. Like last night, I'm like, nah, nah. And so I'll go eat, walk around, do something, come back, and then I got like an extra 5 minutes to 7 minutes, and all right, we got to stand up, go do something else.
Do you feel like there's certain times of the day that you're more productive?
100%, and I think that's why the morning routine I think is so important for mm-hmm. people, because you wake up, you are alert, you're ready to rock and roll, you've got the most energy, you haven't used the most of your mental capacity. I think it's pretty proven, man. Like that. Like I've heard it described as, you know, green, yellow, and red, like kind of like a stop sign uh-huh, or like uh-huh. a stoplight.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, in that morning time, you're firing on green. Like all systems go, very little clutter from the day before, like new thoughts, new energy, new ideas. And then you start to get in the yellow zone, and then you start to get in the red zone. Now I am a night owl, so I don't lose energy at night usually. I usually perk up a little bit at night. So I'm actually pretty good at night as well. But I think getting up and getting it done for most people is.
Yeah, for me, the morning time, I don't like to schedule any meetings in the mornings because that's when I'm most creative and that's when I have the best ideas.
What time do you get up?
6 o'clock.
Every morning?
Mm-hmm. I mean, typically.
Do you need an alarm anymore or no?
Yeah, I still have my alarm.
Just in case.
I'm not a great sleeper. You know, sometimes I'll be up late, but I still like to get up at 6 so I have plenty of time to do my quiet time, pray, and all that before I get into whatever it is I'm getting into. So
I got a buddy from Texas that I've met not too long ago. He gets up at 3 o'clock every morning.
What does he do? Does he have a paper route?
No, he does not have a paper route. He's making really good money, and it's not in the paper route. He owns a real estate venture business and stuff, and does real estate at a high level. And but the biggest thing is, the biggest thing with him is he said my phone doesn't ring from 3 to 6.
Okay.
And so I get a lot accomplished and a lot done, and I know I have zero distractions. So he can get his quiet time.
He probably
goes
to bed at like 8 p.m.
I don't know if he does, but he gets a lot of his work done, which mm-hmm. makes a lot of sense, by the way, because that phone starts ringing, and even when you're reading, like that's the thing about reading your Bible app, like the mm-hmm. phone dings at the same time or vibrates at the same time.
That's
and
the
now
bad
you,
thing about doing it on the phone.
So now you see it, and it's like, ooh, you know, kid guys like me are like, well, squirrel, something shiny.
Yeah, I have to. Like if I'm in the zone, say, like yesterday I was writing the message, and I'm getting all these texts and all these phone calls, all these emails, but it's like, no, I got to get this done first before I look at any of that.
Or else it'll stunt the process,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And sometimes I need a break, and I'll go do some of that stuff. But I do think there's something, like some people, like for me, I'm worthless in the afternoons, like late afternoon. Like
nap time?
It's workout time. That's like when I go do something active.
So you get in the sauna.
I lift weights, get in the sauna.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been lifting weights. I haven't done much cardio.
Cardio's underrated.
I'm at my all-time high right now weight-wise. So Jennifer and I are getting – and I've talked to you about this before. I'm just so confused on what's healthy and what's not healthy. And like the other day I woke up and I didn't know whether I should eat a banana or a protein bar. I didn't know which one was more healthy. I'm like, which one should I eat? I have no idea. And I've tried to get you to help me. Of course, you won't help me because you say I need to like write down everything I eat throughout the day before you're willing to help me. But that's just your excuse for not wanting to help me.
Well, because you're not helpable. You're a lost cause. But, so you eat a bag of chocolate-covered blueberries and you think it's healthy.
We got a new like Jennifer's tennis partner just sent us over a plan. And we're going to start following this. So I finally have a plan. Okay. And I'm sticking.
What's the plan?
I don't know what it's called.
When does the plan start?
We're starting today or yesterday. Like I'm on.
So what's the plan? Pal.
It's basically a low carb type, no sugar, low carb, protein, meat, proteins, vegetables.
Wow. Sounds familiar. Sounds like something we've talked about for maybe the last 20 years.
But certain kinds of fruit, not all fruit.
Pastor Jay shows up to this show to get fitness advice.
I'm trying to get. I mean, he won't give it to me.
I mean, everything you've said has been told to you before. Like, what if that was a revelation, homeboy? Yeah, don't eat sugar. Don't eat candy. Your ice cream trips, your chocolate-covered blueberries, the crap we've talked about for years.
I think, and I was telling Jennifer that this morning, because I've lost 5 pounds in the last 2 days, and I'm thinking just cutting the sugar out is going to be a huge step in the right direction.
God, I wish people could see me right now. Just...
Well, like, they can
no
see
crap.
if you're
that's
on
true,
if you're on YouTube.
Well, no crap, Sherlock. Like, I mean, we've literally had this conversation on this podcast since 2020. Like,
but I now have a list of what food I can eat. Like, how would you answer the question? Would you eat a banana or would you eat a protein bar
to start your day?
Yeah. And I'm already changing my mindset that I don't need energy. Because I already have energy. Because I used to believe I had to eat something to work out.
Crap.
But now I'm buying into it. You know, but I've already got, because I've ate a lot yesterday. So I have a lot of energy stored up. So I don't have to eat something to get the day going.
Yeah, listen.
But like I kind of had a couple fried eggs this morning.
So you're already off the diet?
No, that's part of the, you can eat eggs.
So, well, eggs are one of the best things for you.
You can eat eggs.
Yeah, eggs are great
for
you.
Are you telling me, you're telling me, I can eat eggs.
No, but you're telling me about the plan, and you said a banana or a protein bar, well, and that was neither.
That was last week. That was last week.
You said you
week.
Started today.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying that when I woke up last week, I didn't know whether to eat a banana or a protein bar.
Oh, okay. Well, so we're past that.
Which one would you choose?
I'd eat a protein bar. Okay. Like, I think you need protein. Again, your body works off of protein, carbs, and fats. Like, they all serve a different service to your body, basically. They like, think about it like a house, like it's brick, it's mortar, You know, it's the foundation. You know, it's all, they all, like, carbs are good for your brain. Like, that's why you need fruits. You need, carbs are great for energy. Like, fats are essential and needed. Like, back in the day when you were growing up, it was, everything's fat free. Like, you're right. Like, now it's sugar free. And people are realizing, like, you need good fats. You need the avocados.
I drank whole milk growing up.
Which is great for you. I mean, whole milk's great. There's nothing wrong with whole milk. And then obviously you need protein to build muscle. And obviously it serves as energy and stuff too. But they all have a function. It's just a matter of you need more. Like, you don't need the same amount of fat as you do protein and the same amount of carbs, right? Like, those, you need more protein and carbs, but the good carbs. Like, the carbs you need are rice and oats and the stuff that's very digestible and it's very good. Like, those are the things you want to consistently have. You don't want fries. You know, like, eggs are a great source of fat. Like, we've talked about a lot of this before, but, you know, whatever it takes for you to get it done, I'm all for it.
You're about to see a transformation in Pastor Jay. Let's get back to this message that you're giving, this talk you're preparing. What you said, it's about adversity.
Yeah.
Like, what are some of your main themes, main stories?
Why are you trying to get my message? This is my message. What are you talking about? You trying to help me write my message?
No, I just thought it might be interesting for the audience to hear what you're talking
about.
Well,
he mentioned, the guy who runs the company mentioned adversity a bunch. And so I think that was, obviously that's a consistent theme throughout my story. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, I'll start by just talking about growing up, and like, I grew up, you know, loving football. Like, football, obviously I've talked to you, like, when I was 4 years old, my brother started playing football and I tackled everything in sight on the sidelines. Like, I was all over the place. My parents said I was chomping at the bit till the next season when I could play. And I loved it. And I've told y'all about, like, in eighth grade, I'll never forget when I was watching Brandon Chastain, you know, win the World Cup in the U.S. And I will never forget on the broadcast, they said the athletes stopped drinking carbonation because it hurts their conditioning. That's the last time I ever touched a carbonated beverage in my life, like, till this day. And so, like, I was willing to give up things along the way and to work really, really hard. But then my sophomore year, I didn't play varsity. I didn't play JV. And during that span, like, I forgot about all the work. I faced a little bit of adversity when it got hard. What's the first inclination for most of us? It's to quit. And I'm like, I quit. And just, like, so thankful that when I met that adversity, I had someone that believed in me. And Eddie Shaddix was my high school defensive line coach. And again, I wasn't a great player, but Eddie, like, he saw something in me that he believed in me before I believed in me. And when I lost my belief in myself, and he was like, hey, just come work out with me. Like, let's just go lift weights. We'll get pretty. We'll get curls for the girls. And I'm like, swank, bro.
That's
one of
your coaches?
Yeah, it's my coach, my D-line coach, because he could tell that I didn't want him to talk me out of it. Mm-hmm. And so I started going to the gym with him, and then I grew almost 6 inches and I gained like 50 pounds, 60 pounds. And so, like, that off season was huge. Obviously puberty grew, got strong, and football is a lot more fun when you're the hammer and not the nail. Mm-hmm. Like,
so you were in 10th grade, you were on the team, but you're just on the sidelines. You weren't getting to play.
Yeah. I didn't play varsity, and mm-hmm. I played a little bit of JV, but I was, you only had so many quarters, and I was a backup on varsity. So I kind of, like, was there, but I wasn't and didn't get to play. So needless to say, you get frustrated, and then...
Well, there's thousands of people listening to this who can relate to that.
Yeah. I mean, especially any kids out there, too. Their sophomore year is always the hardest. I mean, you're not physically developed enough to play with juniors and seniors who are a year and 2 years older than you. You don't have the experience they have and haven't made the mistakes and been underneath those fires, so it's really, really difficult. So that's where I'm starting, and obviously, you know, everybody who's listening to this podcast, we'll get to broken neck and we'll get to ESPN letting me go.
Yeah.
So Kelly Pollak doesn't get upset. And just kind of taste of adversity. Cause I think a lot of people always look at your story and they're going to read your bio and they're going to introduce you and they're going to say 3-time All-American, first round draft pick, college game day. And you're going to be like, well, let me tell you about some things that sucked. Cause this is great, but this didn't come without a ton of failure and a ton of adversity and a ton of questions and a ton of fear at times and a ton of all the stuff that comes with anything that you're going to achieve that's great. There's going to be great adversity. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's probably going to be the main message What do you think, speechwriter? Is that good?
Well, when you were talking about that, it led me to think about King David. And before he faced Goliath, he first faced the lion, and he defeated the lion. And then he faced the bear, and he defeated the bear. And then that prepared him to face Goliath. And I was thinking about your life, some of these smaller adversity things. You and Lindsay are about to face your Goliath. I mean, this battling cancer is a lot more difficult than losing your job.
Yeah.
Or your career ending injury.
100%.
Like this is, but God has prepared your faith. He's prepared your journey. Even thinking about what your small group's been through over the last year and a half, they're all going to be rallying. I mean, everybody, like to your point, is poised for this.
Yep.
So it's going to be a great step of faith, character building, and God's going to have a great. You're going to have a great testimony.
So you approve of the speech so far.
That sounds great.
What do I need to add in? Sounds good. I need to add in or take away, or you know what I've really figured out, not through you because you haven't done a great job of this pastoring our church, but stories stick, right? Mm-hmm. Like the stories. Stories stick, stories stay with people, stories do a really good job. And I think that's the hardest part is always like, how do you weave it? Because I love when you weave in personal stories and family. And so I think, you know, that is a big component of like, how do you tell your stories? And I, like when I got to Georgia and like, I like to tell people this all the time too. You know, there's so many things. I go from fullback to defensive tackle. And now my coach is telling me, I got to get off the ball quick. I got to take a short step. I got to have low pad level. I got to get my hands inside. I got to do all of these different things. Like, I'm drinking out of a fire hose, bro. Like, it's coming at you 9,000 miles an hour. And I'm like, all right, where can I start? Like, I got to start where I'm at. I got to use what I got, right? And I got to do what I can. And right now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be really quick and I take a short first step. And I'll never forget, I got our GA. I'm like, hey, man, like, just watch my first step. I'm not worried about all the others. I can't do all of those things yet, like, but I can do this. And that's what we all need to understand. Like, I have big hopes, big dreams. I can't get there thinking I'm going to get them all right now. So how can I narrow it down and be like, all right, this is today's assignment. Like, I'm going to master this. And then once I master having a good base and getting off the ball quick, now I can master being really low. Then I can master my hands getting inside to control a guy. Like, and I think that's.
I think you need to work in some humor.
Yeah.
And work in some funny stories, like maybe a Russ Tanner story.
Russell Thurston story.
Some funny story. If you had one in the NFL, something funny that happened. People like to hear inside stuff. And I think some of your stories. I don't know. I think about like Stitchcomb and them being mad at you, being the freshman who's going all out. And they're just kind of wanting to take it easy. I think that's kind of a funny story. I mean,
what about my wrestling story?
That is a great.
Is that appropriate?
100%.
Because you can't quit. Once you start something, you have to quit. My mom.
You definitely need to work in the wrestling story, and that's very memorable.
We can end it there actually today. But like, you know, my mom, they talked me into being the fat kid. They had no fat kid to wrestle, so they needed a 275.
Like the heavyweight.
Yeah, and I wasn't even close. I was like 215 at the most. I was after a week, I was like, this sucks. And my mom was like, once you start something, you got to finish. And so I went through the whole season, and after the state championship match, I'll never forget, I threw my bag in the front seat, and I said, Mom, Dad, next time I wrestle on a mat half naked, it won't be with a boy. So that's my wrestling story. I was like, nah, bro. I wanted to quit so bad. My parents made me stick with it and actually.
And we know Kelly's listening. So, Kelly, we love you.
Yeah.
You're awesome.
You're fantastic. Thank you, mother.
You're the best mom ever.
I appreciate you looking out for that.
She said she wasn't going to listen, but I know she's listening.
She's going to listen.
Yeah,
her and dad listen and watch on YouTube. That's our two views a month we get.
Lindsay and Jennifer.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate it.